All right, now to talk some Wisconsin football. I have Jake Kokorowski from Bucky'sFifthQuarter.com. Chatted with you a couple months ago, but it's finally here. Friday night football, Utah State, Wisconsin, home opener. What's your excitement level of this game, even though Utah State might not be all that great this year?
You know, I think the fans are excited. Now, granted, it is a Friday night, and with the Big Ten having some of these games played on Monday night, or Friday nights, I should say, there's high school football going on as well, so maybe I would say not. You know, like people are a little upset to be honest, but or some people are. But you know, it's Friday night. It's going to be it should be a gorgeous night. Their highs are supposed to be in the 70s. The expectations of this team returning, even with some of the injuries that have cost a couple of contributors. The rest of their 2017 campaigns, you know, there's still some depth to this team. There are transfer players that have this ability to, I think, really remake this team into something better than even what you saw last year. I think the excitement's there. The expectations are there. But the players know that they've talked about going beyond the Big Ten with championships. But, you know, they know they have to start, you know, it started with summer camp. You know, before that it was summer conditioning. Before that was spring. So they've taken it step by step. And they, you know, TJ Edwards told me, yeah, we've talked about like national title talk, but there is, you know, we have to start at Utah State, and we have to start at fall camp. We have to finish that through. Then we have to work on Utah State. So they are aiming high, but they know they have to take it one game in time, which is all you can ask for from a team that on paper has a lesser schedule than from what you saw last year, with in 2016. But, you know, they also have some returners, and they're all, you know, even though they're missing out on a TJ Watt, a Ryan Ramczyk, a Vince Beagle. So there's excitement with this team, even with some of the injuries. It's going to be fun to watch this team, I think, in 2017.
All right, speaking of that, like you said, they want to go beyond the Big Ten. For sure, you saw Bill Connolly saying Wisconsin clearest path to the playoff. Are you buying into that?
I think so. I think, I mean, and Bill, I mean, Bill's Bill, you know, so, you know, you trust what he says. I honestly feel like this team has the ability to go to the college football playoff. Now, they do have, I will say, the Big Ten West, I think, is going to be sneaky difficult because of the fact of, well, one, there's always health you have to deal with. And two, Northwestern has a great quarterback and running back in their safety. You know, they have their defense. I forgot their safety, but they have a veteran presence there. Despite, I think, the front seven's a little immature. Nebraska, you know, everyone's anointing Tanner Lee to be the next big thing for Nebraska quarterbacks. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Iowa's always tough. They're always physical. Minnesota underneath PJ Fleck. There's a lot of hype underneath that Fleck train rolling right now, but then there's also, you know, Michigan. But I do think based on polls and S&P, yeah, they may have the easiest shot, in my opinion. But I will say that the Big Ten West, I mean, it's a physical division. Injuries are going to accumulate, and players are going to have to step up when that happens. It's just a matter of time. And if Alex Hornibrook gets injured, you can throw those rankings out. Because even though they anointed Jack Cohn, the true freshman, as the number two quarterback, if Hornibrook is not behind center for an extended period of time this season, things drastically change for the Badgers, not just in the Big Ten West, but their chances to win the division there, which they still have a good chance to, but those Big Ten titles, the college football playoff talk is a completely different question then.
Let's ask you about that. So you pointed out to me that the depth chart's out a couple of true freshmen, like I said, Jack Cohn, because Alex Hornibrook, he split time last year. He did well enough. Heck, they went to the Cotton Bowl, so they did pretty well with him splitting time. If he goes down, that, like I said, that's going to blow everything up. But would it really all that much? Because for me, watching Wisconsin, they just seem to hand the ball off a lot. And I see they have a trio of running backs for some reason. I don't know. You mentioned maybe a motivational thing to put the true freshman in there with Jonathan Taylor and everybody else. What is this team going to look like? Because I know Hornibrook's the guy he'll throw, but they still want to just run the ball. And they seem, is Paul Chris that confident in those three guys? Or is it, well, we'll just play whoever and see what happens, listing three guys as a starter?
I don't think they'd put Taylor up there if they felt like he couldn't contribute. And this is a kid that, I mean, honestly, a lot of us, I was trying to talk to a couple of the other media guys. We were all there at practices. You know, some of the guys saw more than I did. I had to dip out early on a couple of them. But you look at the fact that you know, Taylor looked good running that. Like the couple weeks that we saw, he ran the ball hard, but like there's a young guys scrimmage that they had, where it was primarily just the younger guys. And Chris pointed it out during his press conference today that, yeah, they look good. You know, he looked good in those, but then it seems like he has got a full head of steam afterwards, because like he'd work his way up a little bit more and grab some carries here and there during the practices that were open to us. But you know, there's a scrimmage that was on a Friday night where all of a sudden you're hearing from the Big Ten Network, Jonathan Taylor just broke a 60-70 yard run for a touchdown against the first team defense. You know, you see that and you open up your eyes, you're like, and that first team defense, even without Jack Sitchie, is going to be mighty good. And your eyes kind of pop out. You're like, okay. And Dakota Dixon even mentioned that too. He apparently calls this true freshman beast mode when it comes to, because of the fact the kid's 5'11", about 215, was one of the fastest kids out of the state in New Jersey, if not the fastest kid in the 100 meter dash. So there's a lot of hype there. I think they'll put him in there, especially with Taiwan Deal, who's this redshirt junior that really had, you know, he's been hamstrung by injuries. He had his ankle apparently is still not doing well. And you know, it's a kid that is a bruiser that would have been a perfect compliment to Chris James, to Bradrick Shaw, but he is floundering there, you know, but he's just floundering there with injuries. And he was having a good camp before that injury as well, from what we had seen. And he had dropped a couple of pounds. But so that, I mean, that opens up opportunities. And so Jonathan Taylor, I mean, he looks like he's made the most of them. And like I said, we haven't seen the practices since the last time, you know, since about two and a half weeks ago. So, but, you know, I mean, it's been the dominant staple of this running game for Wisconsin, right? It's been ever since Barry Alvarez took over this program. You know, having like a physical team, like, but a, like a scheme offensively that caters to 6'6", 320-pound guys that can bulldoze and block off of powers and inside zones and offside, you know, and outside zones and get into the next level on the linebackers to open up big holes for running backs. It's, you know, it's been a staple of that for 26, 27 years now. But, you know, the thing is, though, you have – Wisconsin's had some really good – receivers. You know, you look back, Lee Evans, who had a great NFL career, is one of the most storied Wisconsin wide receivers out there. Chris Chambers, during the Rose Bowl years, was huge, despite him not getting, you know, being, you know, you could say in the shadow around Ron Dayne, because it was a run happy offense and their quarterbacks at the time necessarily couldn't, I mean, they got the ball to him here and there, but wasn't necessarily a lot compared to what he did in the NFL. But Jared Aberderis, Alex Erickson's with the Bengals. But, you know, this year's crop of wide receivers, even with George Rushing and Kendrick Pryor, who were supposed to be two of the five players that were really supposed to, I would say, you know, step into, you know, the two of the five that are supposed to get rotate in, they're out this game with various injuries. Rushing had a boot on his leg, left leg, and it sounds like they didn't know when he'll be back necessarily. It's, I don't think it's season ending by any stretch, but he could miss, you know, it sounds like he's going to miss the opener for sure, as he's out. Same thing with Kendrick Pryor, who was in a moped accident, and he's got some facial injuries. But that opens the door for, like, a Danny Davis, who, true freshman out of Springfield, Ohio, four-star kid, chose Wisconsin National Signing Day, could be a big presence. But even in front of him, you know, this passing game, they have receivers like Quintez Cephas, who can catch the deep ball. Even though he only had, you know, four or five receptions last year, a big one came against Iowa that was 57 yards from Hornibrook, who knows how to throw a deep ball with touch and also accuracy, which is rare sometimes. And he had that ability there. AJ Taylor came on during fall camp. His spring didn't look that great, wasn't catching the ball that well, in my opinion. Now, like I said, these are my eyes, I'm not a coach, but it just didn't look like, he dropped a couple of balls and it just didn't look right. In fall camp, he transformed and catching everything almost, and he's more of a slot guy, you know. But Jazz Peavy's another guy who's the big target for receiver, you know, where he runs the ball, he averaged 15 yards a carry, almost 400 yards, or it was like, you know, so 318 yards last year, and so, but the, you know, but he also catches the ball, he's second on the team. So I mean, I think running is the personality, it's the attitude, and it's the identity of Wisconsin offense. But they need that passing game so that teams don't stack eight or nine in the box. It's still not up to that par where that 2011 or 2010 team, that where you could just physically impose yourself every game. You know, you need to, or like the 2014 squad, with Melvin Gordon and Robin, you know, blocking, you know, with blocks from Kyle Costigan and Rob Havenstein and Kyle Costigan, you know, like where they could impose their will, even with 8 or 9 guys in the box like this. I still feel they need that passing game, and I think these receivers could be are really talented and could. I didn't even mention Troy Fumagalli, who's a preseason All-American, man. You know, I don't like to be overly optimistic, man. I like being pragmatic. I look at myself as a journalistic type, trying to be objective, but there's a lot to like with this Wisconsin offense, man. A lot to like.
So even you mentioned injuries, like it's probably not going to impact Utah State all that much if they have a couple of guys, like you said, who are out on offense. Same thing on defense. Cincy is out. Then I saw today you had a Zach Bond out for the year, it looks like.
Yeah.
That's a linebacker position with Utah State. They want to run the ball a little bit with Tony Lindsay and LaJuan Hunt, but they brought in David Yost to run like a 3-4-5 wide passing offense. How do you think those guys not being there could impact specifically Utah State? Anything that like, oh, we have a backup in, we might struggle to do A, B, or C because these two guys are out.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jim Leonard's first year on defense, you know, as a defensive coordinator. He obviously had a storied career in the NFL, 10 years, and before that, collegiately, 3-time All-American, former walk-on, the walk-on of walk-ons. And I've had a chance to grow and learn more about him and talk with him a lot during the past couple of years with the book. But Cicci was a huge loss because they had the ability to, you know, because he's the energy, Vince Beagle called him the energy of the defense, where this team, you know, thrived off it. You could hear it in practice. Okay, like case in point. Is this a family friendly podcast? I would just have to, let me just say this for Cicci. Like he had some animated words to say. Like he goes up to the kicker after Rafael Gagliardi missed a kick, and I will put this euphemistically and PG terms. Don't miss this one, friend. And so he brought an energy, and it's missed, but you're going to have guys step up in his place. It had to happen last year when Cicci and Chris Orr were both out. Orr returns, and Orr is like a vocal leader. One of my, and I don't know if this is unjournalistic of me, but I think he's one of my favorite interviews because he always has a great quote. There's always something from him. And he's just animated, and, you know, he has that ability. And if it wasn't for that, injury and the LSU's first offensive play, he doesn't. He starts last year, but you know Ryan Conley is there, who is in the two deep right now. He's the starter, though. TJ Edwards, Orr, and Conley are all going to be playing and needing to play, and will be needed, I'm sure, just because how physical this team, you know, team, the teams are, and just the grind of the, you know, the 12 game regular season. But you know, the defensive line is solid at the front seven. I mean, they're too deep in talent, and it's an embarrassment of riches. You know, three of their defensive ends that are all seniors have played 121 total games, and their junior nose guard, who's 350 pounds, used to do a backflip, can do the splits, and we have a feature up coming up tomorrow on Buckets with Quarter about his tattoos. We did a feature on players' tattoos, which I recommend people get, taking a look. It was a fun piece to write, but the injuries with Bond and the key parts are, you have to worry about inside linebacker, outside linebacker, because if one more inside linebacker goes down, you're then having younger guys like Arrington Farrar, who just converted from safety 2/3 of the way through the spring, who's looking good, but he's still got a lot to learn. He's still trying. It's still not instinctual to him yet, unlike Conley, unlike Orr, and unlike Edwards. Outside linebackers, Dooley and Jacobs look really solid, and they've contained both on the run and against the pass. Like, I think, and Jacobs is a physical beast. This is a guy that was at inside linebacker last year, was at fullback even before that. He's almost come circle of life. He was an outside linebacker as a true freshman and then worked his way all the way over. Now back to that position, due to injuries and attrition, and you have Garrett Dooley, who's a senior who stepped in for Vince Beagle when he was injured last year, played admirably. I think he took a step. He looked impressive against the run during fall camp against an offensive line that returned 4 of its 5 starters, and you have a guy like Leon Jacobs who is just an athletic freak, where he squats about 655. I thought I saw a bench about 435 or 455 up on a video. His head's the size of my leg, or his biceps are the size of my legs. And it's this guy is a physical specimen. And the thing is, like, I'm hoping to see that athleticism from both of them rushing off the edges, and, you know, but also in space when they need to make a play in the pass defense. So we'll see what Jim Leonard does. I mean, this, like I said, I think the biggest thing right now is the depth. It's the depth to watch. If you're looking for concerns, is the depth at inside linebacker and outside linebacker. Just a tinge. I'd say more outside linebacker, because Bond's injury, and he's more of a straight line athlete, converted high prep quarterback. You have a walk on in Tyler Johnson, who played well, you know, and you hear guys like Edwards today give him a lot of praise for how hard he's worked and got to where he's at now. So I think he'll work his way in. But, I mean, it'll be, you know, this is a time where I think you'll see a lot of those guys play this week and see how they do, and the coaching staff will take note. But, I mean, the secondary, too, I like the secondary where they're at. The injuries don't hit there. I mean, they could be among the best in the nation. I know the cornerback duo will be among the best in the conference with Derek Tindall and Nick Nelson. And Nick Nelson's that cornerback, that safety, that cornerback, I should say, that Richard Jr. From Hawaii, and he's just turning heads. And every practice that I was at, it seemed like he made a pass breakup at some point or an interception. So it'd be very interesting.
So speaking of the secondary, it's really good. Because Utah State, like I said a minute before, they want to go, they have 7-8 deep receiver, going to go four wide, go super up tempo. Is that going to, with that being the strength, I assume there should be very little concern about stopping guys like Rontavian Carver and other guys, Van Leeuwen, out there who are going to be their key targets.
Yeah, the interesting part will be, I think with this team, the big part comes with the third cornerback and their nickel sub packages, where right now it's been between Dante Carrier Williams, and it'll be between him and Luburn Figaro, a senior. And Figaro last year, when Natrell Jamerson was still cornerback, he's now the free safety, starting free safety. They bumped him back out, deep in the middle of the field, opposite Dakota Dixon. He is, basically Figaro, he came in, he played all right for the most part. But that Penn State game, the Big Ten Championship game, where he got toasted on two big touchdown passes. One was against Mike Gesicki, who's gonna, who's earned some preseason All-American honor, so that's always a tough matchup, right? But there's also a time where he overran a ball, like he's trying to undercut a ball, and next thing you know, the guy breaks the tackle and it's a touchdown. That, you know, that made it a two touchdown score at halftime, which really made the momentum shift. But you have the fact that this team really is, I think their secondary is going to be all right. I like Carrier Williams in the slot, and Jim Leonard's talked about how they're going to use, really, they're going to try to utilize Carrier Williams or Tindall in the slot, probably. Nelson's just a, 5'11", 204-pound cornerback who's a little bit bigger, but, he knows how to play man coverage, and I think he's going to be fine where he's going to be a little bit more, one of those more physical cornerbacks. Tindall is a little bit more savvy, and he can play those multiple positions that you like to see from a cornerback, where he can shift inside, he can shift outside. Carrier Williams, I think, can do the same thing. I'm not so sure about Figaro. But, safety-wise, you have Jamerson, who has that coverage, and he's learning to communicate more. I mean, that was one of the big things I was talking to Nelson about last week. Like, what's been the major change for Jamerson? And it's just trying to make those calls. Cornerbacks in that defense, they receive the calls. Safeties make those calls. And so I'm intrigued to see how his transition in a game time, in a true game time setting, is. He's moved around a lot as well, going from wide receiver to cornerback now to safety. So, I think they should hold up. Jim Leonard has this group really well defined. They study hard. You saw the results last year where they really, 22 interceptions for the entire defense, which is tied for second in the nation. I think they had 16 of those 22, if I'm not mistaken. This team has that ability to, is it either 16 or 17, I think. No, it was 16, I'm sorry. And so this team has the ability, the secondary has this ability to really step forward and make an even a greater impact, I think. And Nelson has just been lauded, and I'm intrigued to see what he does, not just against Utah State, but really when you see those other receivers start popping up, and then really, you know, like the big time names, and see how he does, because these guys could be lockdown cornerbacks. And Nelson, I mean, there's even like some hype that he may leave after one season at Wisconsin, almost pull like a Ryan Ramczyk where he leaves. So that's what's really interesting, and it's someone to watch, not just in the secondary, but he's also named the number one punt returner, and he returned punts at Hawaii, and he did so against Wisconsin in 2015. So it's exciting to see, but like I said, it's how they play the game, and I'm really intrigued to see first game of the season what Utah State pulls out for them.
Me too. Like what they. Normally, if you've seen what Utah State's done, because, Gary Anderson, he was there before, kind of know what he's all about. Before he was there, or even after Matt Wells, they want to run the ball, because it's kind of mind-boggling a little bit. Devontae Mays there last year, got hurt. He goes to the Green Bay Packers and doing quite well. And he was never really that – he was good at Utah State, but kind of hit or miss. There's other guys back there, so they want to maybe run the ball a bit and pass the ball. It's like if you saw any of Colorado State yesterday at all or over the weekend – they run the ball and want to pass the ball very well. Not just full spread, but not just two tight ends. Set. But with Diosa there, I think I'm interested to see what they want to do, because they don't really have a ton of open practice. Plus, it's far for me to drive to get down there. It's almost 90 minutes. I'm like, I'm not going to do that very often. And to be honest, not many people cover the team down there, so it's hard to get information unless you know some people or can get some info that way. But I've just seen they want to go fast and go four wide receivers and pass a ton. But I want to see what to do, because Kent Myers is a four-year starter. He got thrown in as a true freshman. He's going out to Wisconsin. It's a big place to play. And I don't know. I don't know what to do, because last year their offense averaged like 20 points a game.
Ooh.
Not very good.
Gotcha.
And defense, I was thinking defense was not very good last year after going through it, but going up one more time and going through it again, defense only gave up 20 points themselves, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's...
But they can't score a lot, and so that's why they were 3-9. They had so many games within a touchdown they lost. And so I'm interested to see what the offense can do playing a good opponent. And one thing I want to ask you about this, I'm looking at the line just because it's sometimes fun to do so. Because I was looking at things, they're all out there. It opened as 37, but now it's 28. How does that happen? That's a huge swing, 11 points.
No, I mean that may come to the point where, I mean the loss of Sitchie, and I don't know when that came out, so I don't know when like the initial...
Yeah, me neither. I'm not sure exactly.
But, you have the fact that this team... is, I don't know how to say it. I think, the team should do well and they should win. Like, I'm predicting like a 38-10 score, where, I think the first team offense maybe holds the Utah State to a field goal, and then like in maybe mop up time, that's where the touchdown goes, and where you get the second, the second teamers and the reserves in. But it's, I think it goes with the loss of Sitchie. The fact that, there has come to that point where, like I said before with Hornibrook, this is a team that runs a lot, but he provides a passing element, and he has got a better zip on the ball this year. And, that's the first thing that some of us noticed during the spring ball, is that he's worked with George Whitfield Jr., the guru that's worked with Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston, Johnny Manziel. And, the throws seem a little bit stronger, and he's got that touch, combines that with the touch on the ball. Basically, if he goes down, though, like Jack Cohn, look, he has a mobile ability. As a young kid, he can throw the ball away quick, which is nice to see. It's not a kid that's trying to force things, a la Brett Favre for us up here in Wisconsin. That's the famous gunslinger that could back up his throws with his arm, but Cohn does not have that arm, I promise you there. But it is, that's something. Bond, I don't think Bond's injury would do anything, but it's also, first games are always kind of interesting too, where, you talk to the guys today, right? And you're like, well, how do you prepare? How do you prepare for this? You watch games from last year, they watch games from last year, but Paul Chryst admitted today that there's going to be something that they're not going to see. And there's going to be something.
Well, look at yesterday over the weekend, San Jose State goes out 16 over South Florida. It's like, who saw that coming?
Exactly.
That was
exactly
ridiculous.
So there's always that.
Special teams, block punt, something crazy may go happen where, who knows, Utah State is up 7-0 for a pick six, but Wisconsin rolls off 45 straight points. It's like, okay, we're good. But weird stuff could happen in opening weekend. Doesn't matter, because Utah State, they're not a pushover, but they're also not a great team. I think they'll be able to do a few things, but you'll see something like, how did that happen? Or there will be something that goes on that puzzles both teams that they weren't expecting. That always happens in a week one or an unfamiliar opponent in non-conference.
Exactly. Play. And so that's what, you know, and another point too, and this is like a smaller point, but having the fact that hopefully my next book is on a national level about specialists. Wisconsin starts, they're starting long snapper Adam Bay is a true freshman. Now, he was one of the nation's, by Cole's kicking camp, he was the nation's best long snapper, prep long snapper. But he replaces Connor Udelhoven. And Connor played 53 games, one off the school record in his time at Wisconsin. And he was just a picture of consistency. Barely a noticeable bad snap, you know, the last 2 years of his time at Wisconsin. And so when you hear a long snapper's name called out, and I talked to a couple of specialists and we were joking about it, like if his name's being heard, that's, yeah, you know, you're doing something bad, right? You know, there's something that's, you know, it's not a good thing. Like on field goals and punts, you know, and I talked to the punter, Anthony Lottie, last week for he's, by the way, Wisconsin's punter's got a sleeve for a tattoo for those that, you know, that are Utah State fans. I don't know if that makes any difference, but I find it hilarious because he's a punter and he's got a full sleeve.
The center for BYU, I think, is a long snapper, has like huge tattoo. I think it's called like the long snapper or something weird for a bat tattoo for long snapper. It's like, okay, specialists are,
yeah,
weird.
No, they, come, are.
You got to admit, you got all the Aussie punters, guys from New Zealand kicking the ball. That
they are my, they may be my, like I said, I don't know if this is necessarily journalistically correct to call them out, but they are my favorite people to cover because they are just this unique subset. And it intrigues me. And I have a joke with one of the beat writers where I'm like, every time I see a long snapping article, I'll tweet it to him in a DM saying, hey, another long snapper. Hey, this guy, look what he does.
They want to talk. Because they don't get talked to a ton, and they'll chat it up, and you'll get some good info.
Exactly. No, and it's, you know, but, you know, talking with Lottie about it, I mean, he mentioned, you know, there's so much intricacies. It's the same thing with any type of football, right, where – you know, 3 inches or an inch and a half off in your splits could mean the difference between making a touchdown saving tackle or getting blown off the ball. It's a, you know, with long snappers, like they identified one small thing, according to Lottie, for one of the snaps, where just a placement issue. And that, you know, and it was a slight difference, but, you know, they fixed it and you know, and like a slight fix. And, you know, there's that intricacies there. And, you know, you talk to Chris today and he likes where Bay's at right now. So, I mean, it all changes when he comes out on the field. He's going to be in front of 80,000 people, or probably maybe 75 to 80,000, depending upon how many make it out due to high school football on Friday. So,
all right, let's wrap this up really quick. We know Wisconsin's going to win because that's how these things work. What would it take for you to say, like, Wisconsin, I know you don't want to say they played bad or didn't win, but, like, what would surprise you as a result, saying, oh, Utah State's better than I thought, or Wisconsin need to work on things? Like, let's just say let me try to phrase it the best way. But I think, you know, I'm getting at where they won, but it was a more hard-fought victory. Like, what would be things where you want to see him? I'm terrible at this today.
No.
Like, a disappointing win. That's what I'm getting at. I don't want to say it, but they win, but it's not how you'd like. What would take it to happen for Utah State to be close in this game to give Wisconsin any sort of scare?
I think, yeah.
There we go. I got it.
I think injuries is a big thing where, like I said, Hornibrook's out somehow if you know, he gets rolled up on or something where he just gets injured. I think that's then you have to like rely on backup quarterbacks and the offense gets stalled out. I think that's a disappointing loss. You look at the fact of, I think, turnovers and procedural penalties. You'll hear a lot about that where you don't want the players drawing, you know, let's say you're first and goal at the one and then there's a false start. Right, so I think having procedural penalties is huge. It's a big, they don't like it. Wisconsin, like during fall camp, they would knock you out. They would, you know, get the guy out of the play right away. Like afterwards, like, oh, you drew false art, you know, oh, next guy up. And so, I think if they commit a lot of penalties, if the offense doesn't show signs of maturing like it should, and like I said, they have a preseason All-American with Troy Fumagalli. They have a running, you know, they have three running backs right now that appear to have the ability to change the game. They have a wide receiver like Jazz Peavy. See, you're hearing my kids cry in the background, even though I have the door closed, and it's always fun. But no, they you have this team too, where I think the defense, if there's, if they get caught with things, where Utah State showcases like a couple things, like Derek Tindall last year had a couple of touchdowns given up against that were, you know, I think the one was the Michigan one. I think if the secondary gets confused and maybe there's some issues communicating, but how, you know, like I said, the big thing I think would be like injuries and penalties that would stifle opportunity, and I think that those would be the keys. Otherwise, I think Wisconsin, like this team, from what I've talked to, the players that I've talked to, the assistant coaches, and Paul Christ, like, you know, this team, they like the way they work. They have that mentality of one game at a time. They want to be the best they can be. They know that if they win, there's still things to clean up. There'll always be things to clean up. But it should be very interesting in Camp Randall. And I know many Badger fans are hoping that the recreation of the 2012 game where Gary Anderson almost and his squad almost beat Wisconsin at home, if not for a missed late field last second field goal, hopefully does not come out to be the case.
Yeah, I remember a play call we talked before. It's like run the ball, get 5 yards. But nope, they tried to go for the big first down play and bungled it. But it happens. But hey, at least we're not on TV and you don't have on BBC. It's your kid coming through or something on the doorway. So we're good there. It happens all the time. It's fine. I just remember watching that. It's like, oh, geez, that's got to be like the worst on TV. And then that comes through the back. Hey, we got about dozens of people that listen to it, so we're good. We are, and it's fine. Who cares? We're having fun. It's real. It's not overly produced stuff like that. But that's the game. We got it Friday night. It's on ESPN2?
ESPN, it's on ESPN, yeah. They're at ESPN.
Yeah, 8 o'clock Central Time there on Wisconsin. They're not getting the mega cast, what Ohio State Indiana is, which is weird to say they're doing a mega cast for that game, but whatever.
Yeah, no, they got, was it Adam Amin? Amin is his last name. And then Dusty Dvorak and Molly McGrath will be the ESPN. So, no, I mean, it's a late night, too. It's 8 o'clock. So, that's, you know, it's going to be late for me. It's going to be a late night. At least I'm not a newspaper guy that needs to make deadlines. So, I am happy with that. Unlike a couple of my close colleagues that I try to let them be as much as possible and getting those questions in before they have to run back up to the press box and...
Hey, at least you're not out here in West when I cover BYU or go to games 8:15, 8:30 kickoff. Those guys are struggling to get back in time to get stuff ready when it's game ends at midnight or something. So, yeah, it's only one game. They're crazy, but late night games are fun. But hey, Jake, thanks for hopping on. Excellent stuff. So Utah State fans complain about us not having enough coverage. They cannot complain anymore after this one, because they should have everything known for Wisconsin.
Yeah, and if you guys want to, like I said, feel free to call me out on Twitter at JakeCocoB5Q, or just, you know, go to Bucky's Fifth Quarter in one of our comments sections. Feel free to hit us up. We're always here to talk. If you guys need some tailgating tips, if you're making the trip out to Madison, we're hopefully on Thursday I'll be talking about brats because I like food and the proper way to make
it. So wait, I saw your tweet. Are you boiling? Do you boil brats?
So
what do you do with
that? I used to.
Pre-boil?
I used to pre-boil where you know, I guess how it's called. Like, that's how I was kind of brought up, right? You put beer, you have the onions, and you boil them. Like, for me, it was kind of like you get, you know, a lot of the fat out or whatever it was. Like, I thought it was all clinic. I thought that was that type of thinking, right? Well, you know, basically there's an article going up because we want to talk about some food. I started talking about brats, and I love brats. I'm from Wisconsin. I basically, you know, it's the, you know, yeah, it's one of the natural food groups. You have your veggies, you have your bread, and you have, well, your brats. And, you know, and meat's completely separate too, by the way. So chicken, steak, fish, right? That's all, that's separate. But brats are brats. And we have, and so basically I found out, like, and I just asked the question to some of our fans, right? What's the best way to do this? What's, you know, like for me, I've always boiled them. I've always put them in beer, or sometimes I've thrown in an onion. So I'm not a big onion guy, but you know, like I'll have onions here and there. But so no,
brats are good. I love brats too. They're
so no, I simmered them. I simmered them in, yeah. So it's like boiling. So, you know, you caramelize, you get the onions really kind of just glistening, and so, you know, you put some butter, some there, and then you pour. I use Polka King Porter, Door County Brewery, for those that come up here. Really good porter, and then you simmer the brats for about maybe 5 minutes. Get that gray, nice gray tinge on. and then you throw them on the grill. And so you don't boil them all the way through because the casing pops. Now, my casing popped, I think, because my brats were mostly still frozen. I was running out of time, and I was starving. So, but I mean, it was still good flavor, good taste. And so I think I'm going to use that moving forward.
It's a good product. I cook them all the time. I never boiled before. I make them a million different ways. I'll put them in eggs. I'll make whatever I want. So I know, for me, it popping, not a big deal. But if you want it just right in some sort of bun or breading or some sandwich of some sort, you can't have that. But that's a good cooking tip. So if people want to tailgate, that's a new tip. I'll try that. And I usually just kind of grill them. That's about it. I don't really put them in water or boil them or beer or anything. But it's the way to go, man. I'm always looking for good food tips.
Oh, no. It's the way to go. Like, it gives you, like, in my opinion, it gives you a nice good taste, and you know, and the nice thing too, you'll have some leftover beer after you put it into the pan, so you get to drink some too. So it's a win-win.
There you go. All right, man. Jake, thanks a ton, and we'll hopefully we have a competitive game on Friday night. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm hoping. I think most Badger fans hope that it won't be, but we'll see how that goes.
Hey, that's fair enough. Hey, I'm saying 21 points. That's where I'm going for. Fits within 21. That's I think that's good for both sides. A good half and half. Where 21, you're kind of close, but you're still Wisconsin's comfortable as well. I think that's a good compromise, perhaps a 21 point.
Yeah, I'd take that. I'd take that, man. But thank you so much for having me on. You guys do some great stuff over at Mountain West Wire. I'm making sure I'm saying this right. Mountain West Wire. Am I correct? Yes.
Yes, we are. Last time we talked, we're somewhere else. For those who don't know, if you're Wisconsin fans listening, just type in mwcwire.com. We are part with over the guys with collegefootballnews.com and USA Today Sports Media Group. So made some change, but if you want to find anything, this podcast, any other pregame stuff for Utah State, Wisconsin, just go to mwcwire.com.
I appreciate you guys having me back on, and got to get up here one of these days, man. Get in the press box, and the night before, we can go to State Street Brats, and we can go to a bunch of other places, Ian's Pizza, Old Fashioned. Got to get you up here one of these weeks.
Ooh. Done. I'll see what I can do one day. It'll be awesome.
Thanks, take care. Jake.